Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At LifeHacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. Baby, baby. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the LifeHacks LA podcast. In this episode, we are going to be hacking one of the most exciting places in all of Los Angeles, DTLA, downtown Los Angeles. But downtown wasn't always like that. 15 years ago, it was a complete ghost town. No cool coffee shops or bars or restaurants. Pretty much people went there to work and then they left as soon as it got dark. So what's responsible for this amazing transformation we've seen over the last 10 years? That's what I'm going to talk about with my special guest today. He's actually my brother, John, and he has been through the DTLA transformation, and he also currently lives in downtown right now. So if you want to know what's behind what happened with this conversion into the hotspot it is today, and also what it's like to live in downtown, you're going to want to stay tuned, check out this episode, and we're going to hack downtown LA for you. All right, let's do it. Hey, what's up, LA Hackers? This is Stefan from LifeHacks LA, and I'm very excited for this episode because I have a very special guest on today, and I know him very well because he's my brother, John. And the reason why I'm having him on is because John lives in downtown Los Angeles, and he's lived in Los Angeles for over 20 years, so he really knows LA well, and he knows the history of downtown Los Angeles and how much it's changed so much recently. And that's why I wanted to have him on to talk about the podcast, or talk about downtown. So, John, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Stefan. Glad to be here. And let me just add to that a little bit so people don't think that I think I know about LA just because I've been here 20 years. So I'm a huge fan of LA. I remember being a little kid and watching Chips and Three's Company and thinking to myself, one day I'll be there. So I've always been an LA lover. And then second, I know the neighborhoods really well because even though I'm a practicing lawyer, I love real estate. That's kind of what I do for fun. Other people have hobbies. That's my hobby, real estate. I love it. And so I will take a Saturday and Sunday and I'll spend 2-3 hours just driving neighborhoods just to see what's cool, what's happening here. So I really know LA well and I really know the neighborhoods well. So I'm not claiming I'm an expert by any means, but it isn't just time that puts me in a position to know what I know about LA.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's funny you say that about the real estate thing, because I've discovered some of the coolest things about Los Angeles when I just got out of my car and I was walking around and I come across something that, you know, I hadn't seen before that I wouldn't have seen from the car. And also, the reason why I wanted to have you on is because, not just because you're my brother, but because you're my brother, I know this. How much you know about Los Angeles, and you're actually kind of the one who got me started with my, you know, before I even knew what a LA hacker was, you were like hacking LA. You were telling me about these cool spots that I didn't know about. And even today, you surprise me every once in a while with a cool spot, usually in downtown, because you know downtown so well, and that's what we're here to talk about. Now, of course, I know everything about you, but can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself? Where are you originally from, and how did you come to Los Angeles to begin with?
Well, Army brat, so from all over. The place that I was before I was in LA was Seattle. And I came to LA because I wanted to be a television writer. And, you know, because I had a family and I had to earn money or whatever, I thought, okay, well, why don't I become a lawyer, because that was something I was thinking about also, or go to law school, and then while I'm in law school, see if I can get a television writing gig, and maybe instead of law school, I would do that. So got through law school, started representing entertainment people like television writers, and just realized how crap their life is, and decided just to stick with being a lawyer, and it's been great, you know. So I would say I'm originally from Seattle, even though that's not the absolute truth. That was just the longest place I had been. But now LA is the longest place that I've been. I moved here in 98 and haven't left since. Don't plan on leaving, but at some point I do plan on maybe cutting the amount of time that I'm here.
Okay, and this is a very broad general question, so I want to throw that out there. But with all the places that you have lived, what is it about Los Angeles that makes it so special where you don't feel like you want to leave?
I have to say that sunshine is probably the biggest contributor of it. Being from Seattle, you just don't realize how taxing it is on the soul to see gray every day. And I didn't even know it. I mean, I moved here and I was like, man, this is just too hot and the traffic is too much. And when I first moved here, I thought, maybe this isn't for me. You know, I loved the beaches. I loved the pretty girls. I loved that the sun was out every day. I loved that there was cool places to go to, but it was a lot. You know, it was just a lot of city for a guy that wasn't from such a big city. And then the first time that I went back to Seattle, I think was the Christmas break during law school. And when I went back, it only took a day or two before I realized, whoa, I really, really miss LA. The sunshine really makes a difference because you spend a day seeing everybody that you haven't seen in 6 months. And then after that, you're like, okay, what else is there? I don't have cool coffee shops. I don't have, well, I'm not going to say there aren't pretty girls in Seattle, but because it's raining, they're covered up, you know, so you don't know, right? Yeah. I don't have the beaches. I don't have the mountains. I just don't have anything, you know. And so Seattle's still a great place. I still love going there for 4 days, but that's about it. So I think it was the sunshine by far is what I think makes people come here and stay here.
Yeah, definitely the weather is amazing because you don't really have to plan around it too much. Like when I lived in Seattle, you know, I always had to plan around the weather. And you know, with the weather thing, I kind of got around that by only going to Seattle in August. I go back once a year to visit friends. And, you know, I just got back actually. But the other thing you said about just things to do, that's the big one for me because I go back in August because I know the weather's going to be nice in Seattle. But man, I was bored after like 2 days, you know, because there's just so much to do here. It's crazy.
After you see everybody. And you know the other funny thing about places like, and you know, that I'm all over Texas too because of real estate. But the funny thing about going to, and I love Texas. Texas is wonderful, especially Austin. But the funny thing about going everywhere else is all of the cool things are the things that they took from something they saw in LA, right?
Yeah.
So they'll say, oh, there's this really cool such and such that I'm gonna take you to. And then I go there and I go, oh, okay. And they're like, yeah, it's just like LA, right? And I'm like, yeah, it is. You know, but you've got one here, I've got 20, you know, that I can go to that are the exact same thing, you know? So
yeah.
And I love it. Like I love going to Austin and seeing all of the cool LA things and the Texas flavor that they put onto it or the Seattle flavor that's put onto an LA thing. But at the end of the day, it's still an LA thing.
That's so true. Like, especially with Seattle, you see things that were popular in Los Angeles a couple years ago showing up there. So I expect what's going to come next in Seattle is, and probably cities in Texas, like you mentioned, is food halls. Food halls are huge here in Los Angeles. I didn't see a lot there. Basically like an upscale food court.
You know, just like, suddenly, right?
Isn't yeah, fun? Oh my God. Just they're everywhere. There's the Fields, LA, the one I took you to.
Yeah, that was
there's
awesome.
There's the one in Santa Monica called The Gallery. It used to be like a McDonald's and a Taco Bell, and they totally redid it into
this been to that one yet.
Instagrammable food hall. The Mother Lode is probably the best one. It's actually in Anaheim. It's Anaheim Packing District. Mm. That one's amazing. It's just basically an Instagram hall. But anyway, you know, I assume that in a couple of years we're going to see that in Seattle. I didn't see this in any of that in my last trip, but like yeah. You said, I've every time I go there, I see things that are popular that LA had been doing 2 to 5 years ago.
You know, what's interesting is when I was in Austin, they have these food truck courts, like they're specifically made, like it's an outdoor parking, like a vacant lot that they just parked food trucks on, and then they have benches, right? Mm-hmm. And people just drink and eat or whatever. And it got me thinking when I was sitting there, wow, this is really cool, right? But it got me thinking how LA started the food truck movement, right?
Yeah, so 2010, it started getting big.
Yeah, so just suddenly out of, you know, the economy crashed, people couldn't, these really popular up-and-coming chefs couldn't afford restaurant space, they started doing the food truck thing. Now there isn't any city you can go to almost in the world. I mean, I've been to Mexico and all these, and they're like, wow, food trucks, you know?
Wow,
so,
yeah.
So, and I really love that whole food truck movement, but I love the influence that LA has on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love, so even when I travel internationally, there's times that we're popular as Americans and there's times that we're unpopular as Americans. And I've seen both sides of that, right? And it also depends a lot on the country that you go to. Some countries are like, ah, Americans. Other times like, oh, Americans. But it doesn't matter where I go. As soon as I say I'm from Los Angeles, instant friends.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you drop the LA card, right?
Yeah,
You at least have something to talk about because they've heard of it, you know, and they know, so they have some type of perception of it. So yeah, that's true. It's a very easy conversation starter. Every time I've traveled and they ask me where I'm from and I say LA, automatically we got something to
automatically
talk about.
They like you. Right?
Okay, so speaking of LA, like you had mentioned, you lived in a lot of different states, but mostly from Seattle, but you've also lived in a lot of places in LA. And so over the years, so I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit about some of those places that you've lived, neighborhoods in LA, because as you know, depending on what neighborhood you are in Los Angeles, things could be very different for you. So can you talk about a little bit about where you've lived and the pros and cons of those areas?
Yeah, so I've lived in quite a few neighborhoods, and I'm one of those guys that gets bored easily, so I move around. The funny thing is that I've lived in downtown LA twice, so I don't know if that's because it's my favorite place to be or if it just worked out that way. But also, I would say it just depends on where you are in your life. So for example, the longest place I probably lived was in Burbank. And people would say, Burbank, that's weird. But at the time I had young kids, the school district was the best. It's like its own little small town. There's only two ways in and out of it. So anyone that doesn't live in Burbank doesn't just go to Burbank. You have to have a very specific reason for going to Burbank or you just don't go there.
Yeah.
So it's like this really cool small town. And I mean, it's big enough. I mean, I think the population is something like 35,000 people or so, or at least it was when I lived there, I don't know, less than a decade ago, but getting pretty close to a decade. And the amount of times I would leave my house and bump into someone that I know is, I mean, you couldn't even count it on one hand. That's how much of a small town it is. Like, oh, so-and-so, hey, so-and-so. So I really loved that at the time when I was married and had young kids and things like that. And very safe, very good neighborhood. But it also has cool stuff, too, you know, because, well, first of all, Burbank has the best airport. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, that is
hands
true.
Down. I mean, literally right after 9/11, a half hour and you can, you know, be on a plane from pulling up, you know. So
yeah.
Burbank is amazing. There's that aspect of it, or one of those good things. But people don't realize that a lot of the big studios and entertainment creators are right there in Burbank. They're just mm-hmm. on sort of like the business side of Burbank. There's the living side of Burbank, which is like where the mall is and where all the cool restaurants are and where the San Fernando Strip is. But then there's the cool stuff like, hey, I'm going to go to Walt Disney or I'm going to go to Warner Brothers or I'm going to go wherever. You know, it's just all there. Burbank was amazing. So for that, I would recommend something like Burbank. Now, I've lived in Hollywood twice, once when I was a student. And Hollywood, I just don't like. It's not my thing. It's dirty. It's violent. There's a lot to do there, but everyone that's coming to Hollywood, the majority of them are coming from somewhere else, right? To party. Lots of drugs. Lots of alcohol. Lots of police. Lots of just not for me. I mean, if you're the 22-year-old, then it's cool. And you know, it was what. Probably less than 15 years ago, I owned a nightclub in Hollywood, so I know Hollywood very well. Just isn't for me. I wouldn't live there. To go have a night out, no problem. Then the second time I moved to Hollywood was right when I got divorced. It was the very first place I moved to because it was fairly close to my office, and I'm a walkable score kind of guy. Like I want to be able to walk, and I want things to be open very, very, very late, and I want coffee very early in the morning. So I thought, okay, Hollywood. And it didn't take long. I was there a month, and I'm like, screw it. I'm breaking this lease. I don't care what it costs.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy over there.
Yeah, it just is. It's a lot of young people really partying harder than I think someone my age is willing to put up with. And so I don't recommend Hollywood, but for young people, maybe it's good. And people hear this word Hollywood, and they think, hey, I'm going to move here from Virginia and move to Hollywood, and I'm going to meet all these people. No, all you're meeting is the partiers. You're not meeting people that are going to help you get into the business.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't recommend Hollywood. let's see, where else have I lived?
Silver or Echo Park, right?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of that?
Well, let me talk about Echo Park last, because I've lived downtown once. After Hollywood, I moved to downtown. Awesome, loved it. The noise can get to you, and the homeless will get to you. If
I'm sorry, which one?
The homeless and the noise.
And where, though?
Oh, it was at the Title Guarantee Building, which was this beautiful building.
But are you talking about Hollywood right now, or are you talking about...
I'm talking about downtown.
Oh,
so
downtown.
I moved from Hollywood
downtown.
To downtown,
okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So really, really cool, but it got too noisy for me at some point, and I wanted something a little quieter. And so I moved to Echo Park, and now that I live downtown, I'm happy, but I sort of still view Echo Park as the happiest I've been. And I remember waking up in the morning, the house that I lived in overlooked Echo Park Lake. I mean, literally across the street and there it is. I would get up in the morning, walk a block, get my coffee from my favorite coffee shop, walk around the lake once, sit down on a bench, look at the fountain shooting up and meditate for 20 minutes and then go back and go to work. So I think I was the happiest there, you know, but I probably wouldn't have moved. I got a girlfriend. She moved in. She was unhappy, talked me into coming back to downtown. And
what didn't she like about Echo Park?
I think we both worked downtown, and she liked the convenience of just walking to work.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that bad of a drive, but you still had to have a car. And so, you know, then we moved back downtown. And I live in the Garment District now because I love the whole lofty, the loft style of living, mm-hmm. with the bricks and the, you know, the older buildings or whatever. But it's an expensive neighborhood, but it's still a tough neighborhood. Right?
Yeah,
definitely. So there's still a lot of homeless. You know, it's right next to Skid Row, so they're kind of cleaning it up a little bit. But, you know, there's a couple big buildings that are going to be going up here, these big high rises. So they're going to clean it up eventually, but I don't know if I'll still be here.
Yeah.
You know, when they clean up. I doubt I'll be living downtown. I mean, I'll probably be living in Silver Lake or Echo Park or, you know, one of these places that has either hills or lakefront, you know, so.
Yeah, and I think, like, the perception of Los Angeles, I used to come out here and visit you all the time before I moved here, and the perception is that, kind of like that Hollywood perception, you know, there's homeless people, there's traffic, and then, you know, you might have the perception of living by the beach, but it's not till you live here that you realize how much diversity you have. And I think what you said hits the nail on the head about, like, where you are in your life. You know, like, when you said you were married with a kid, Burbank was right for you. When you're just dating or you want to be close to your law firm, then downtown is the right place for you. And I found that with myself. I used to live in Burbank as well. When I first moved here, I lived by the Grove, and it was amazing. It was awesome. But it was just, you know, I didn't have any kids at the time, and it was a good time. Now I live in the South Bay, which that fits my personality. I love the South Bay. It's a little bit cooler out there, way less stress, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I try to stay in that area driving. And then a couple weeks ago, I was in West LA driving, and I used to drive that every day. And I was like, God dang, I can't believe I used to do this every day. It's just so much more stress level driving in that area. So I think there's something for everyone. You just kind of got to know what you want and explore.
Well, LA is a bunch of villages, right? So you've got Larchmont, you've got, I mean, just anything, right? It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a suit and tie guy, if you're hippie, if you're a hipster, there's just a neighborhood for you. So I think the key is to figure, and there's multiple neighborhoods of the same thing. So I think the key when you pick a neighborhood is figure out what your style is and figure out how you don't have to drive so much, and your life will be amazing. You know, that's when you live an amazing life in LA, when you don't. So I think the key when you pick a neighborhood is to first figure out who you are and what you like. Are you a hippie? Are you the hippie type? Are you the CrossFit type? What lifestyle do you want, right? And then pick a neighborhood that fits your lifestyle, but also makes it where you don't have to drive too much. And the great thing about LA is it's not like most cities where if someone were to ask me, hey, where do the hipsters hang out? In most cities, you can say, oh, on this side of town. But LA is like, okay, which side of town are you talking about? Are you talking about Silver Lake? Are you talking about Echo Park? Are you talking about this?
McKinney.
Yeah. So they're just there's multiple neighborhoods for whatever you like. So you can end up being close to where you need to be, work-wise or whatever it is, and still get the neighborhood that you love. So anyway, that's what I sort of think about, or what makes LA great, you know, even though it's big.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the ultimate LA hack, which you talked about, which is to try to live close to where you work and hang out. But let's get back to downtown Los Angeles, because that's the reason why I specifically wanted to have you on the podcast, because I remember coming out to visit you here 15 years ago when you lived here and I hadn't yet moved. And I would ask you about downtown. You're like, oh, no one goes downtown. And you even drove me through here a couple times. Yeah. And it was just like desolate and like nothing going on. So we would go to, I don't know, Venice or Hollywood or wherever we would go. But downtown was just kind of ignored. So can you talk a little bit about, because I know you love downtown Los Angeles. Can you talk a little bit about the transition that happened? I mean, because DTLA now is just probably the most exciting area in all of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I agree.
Everyone loves it. The restaurants, coffee shops,
the
movie
nightlife.
Theaters, nightlife. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's like a little New York City. So can you talk about a little bit about the transition? Like, how did it go from what it was to what it is now?
Well, it's interesting because there were two transitions. So, when I first moved here, downtown was Zombieland. What's funny is I used to bring my kids and I used to drive them through downtown, especially Skid Row, when I thought they were being a little too entitled, to show them how bad it could really get and how good that they have it. That's how bad downtown was. So there were certain areas where the businesses were going, but once the businesses shut down, boom, nobody was downtown anymore. Then there was this weird transition that happened 2004-ish, where they started converting all of these former sewing factories into lofts, started revitalizing. So that's the first time I came into downtown. I bought some of these lofts, and then I started hanging out and seeing all the cool little dive bars that were popping up everywhere for the residents. Then suddenly the crash happened, the real estate crash happened, and then downtown was desolate again. Like, nobody was investing in it. Property values went way down. Things were shutting down. And then it sort of made another second resurgence. I don't know what year that was, but I would say a bunch of things happened. They started taking things that were already famous and existed, like the what's that big food court?
Grand Central Market.
Yeah, Grand Central Market. They revitalized
that. 2013, they revitalized
that. So they started revitalizing all of these cool things, and then suddenly downtown was cool again.
Yeah.
And then people started moving back in, and then suddenly the property values spiked, and then everybody started opening up everything. And so now, like what you said, downtown has become, and I know New Yorkers hate when you say this, but it's become like Manhattan to me anyway,
yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying it's the size of Manhattan. Manhattan's an entire island, of course not. But if you were to say, okay, what is like the Lower East Side, I could point to a part of downtown and go, oh, okay, you need to hang out like around the garment district and around Spring Street and around there. That's kind of like the Lower East Side, right? Or you point out something a little more upscale and I'd be like, oh, so you could describe something that's in Manhattan and I could tell you where you go. Well, what's like Times Square? All right, go near where Staples is. It's not Times Square. That's not what I'm saying, but it's the closest thing you're going to get. And it's a little mini version of all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they planned it like that, but it just so happens that it's like that. And there's so much now in downtown LA. Even with the next crash coming, I don't think it's going to stop what's happening in downtown LA. It's gone too far.
Yeah, I agree with all those comparisons to Manhattan, because when you think of Los Angeles, you think of the beach, you think of Beverly Hills, and that's just downtown Los Angeles is as close as you're going to get to Manhattan as far as these older buildings and these revitalized stuff and these speakeasies and these cool bars and fashion district, art district, toy district, warehouse district. I mean, so yeah, totally agree there. So what are some of your favorite DTLA spots right now? Because, as much as I research what to do in Los Angeles, you still surprise me every once in a while. Like, I tease you sometimes because I'm like, oh, did you hear about this spot? And you might not have heard about it. But every once in a while, you surprise me with like, the one I can think of off the top of my head, a few weeks ago, you told me about House of Machines in LA.
Oh, I love
which
that place.
Most people don't know about, so I'll just give them a little preview of what that is. But it's basically like Sons of Anarchy but hipsters. You know, it's like a a motorcycle bar, coffee shop, live rock concert venue with hipsters. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so that's funny that you say that, because I thought of that too. And Sons of Anarchy came to mind when I saw that. I thought, oh, this would be like Sons of Anarchy Clubhouse if it was open to the public and they also served coffee along with beer and liquor, you know.
So, and you don't have to worry about getting stabbed.
Yeah, so that's really cool. Well, I'm more of a roof. There's so many, that question, I mean, I could go so many places with that question. It would be like asking what superpower I would want, right? It's just, right? So it just depends. I'm a coffee guy. I'm a fitness guy. I mean, there's so many things, right? But what I love more than anything is either a secret bar or a rooftop. And right now, there's several rooftops in LA, some better than others. But by far right now, the Freehand Hotel, to me, has the best rooftop. And again, getting back to the New York thing, I went up there at night one time, the first time I went, and it was just such a New York vibe to me. I was like, oh, the rooftops I've been in New York are just like this. So yeah. I think they did that on purpose. Like, you see all these big buildings around you, and then there's just these cool, hip Europeans all over the place. And then another good time to go there is on a Saturday or Sunday. You go there on a Saturday and Sunday, and you can just walk up and swim. They don't stop you, right?
Oh, they allow you to swim.
Yeah, so people just go up there and swim.
Yeah, because a lot of these hotel pools, they'll allow you to go in there and have a drink and hang out, but they don't actually allow you to swim. So that's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know Freehand allowed that.
And so here's a good hack for you if you're for the single guys. Hot girls that live in downtown LA go to the Freehand to swim.
Yeah, Freehand is definitely happening.
Yeah, so on a Saturday, Sunday, if the sun's out, go there. If they don't live in a building that has a pool, because a lot of the newer construction around here has pools, but the ones that don't have pools, they go to the Freehand to swim. So you can sit there with your shades and your shorts, order some drinks, and just get a good view and good conversation.
That's cool. And also Perch is an awesome rooftop bar.
Yeah, but Perch has been around. That's one of my favorites too. The problem with Perch, though, it's that it's so well known. Unless you know the guy up front, or you are, you know, or you're a good tipper, it's hard to get up there, and it's just so crowded when you get up
unless
there.
Unless you go on a weeknight.
And then the bar is always crowded. I just if you're looking for that professional after work scene, Perch is amazing. The views are amazing. The cocktails are great. The food is great. It's just overly crowded, if you ask me. And I still like the old throwback, the original rooftop, which is the Standard. Yeah. The Standard, I mean, I've had some great times at the Standard. I've been up there just having a drink with a friend, and then a transvestite party broke out of nowhere. You know, and I was like, what? This is awesome.
Never know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
right?
So to me, that spot is still great. The food sucks, though. Right. Mm. And then they also get very Hollywood on you if it's a Friday or Saturday night. You know, suddenly there's a line. Why is there a line? That rooftop is huge. Yeah. You know, this entire line could fit up there. So I don't like that part about it. But on a Sunday, on a Saturday afternoon, early after work, that's really great. So those are my favorites. Clifton's, anybody that comes to LA, whether you're visiting or you live here and you can't figure out what to do, go to Clifton's. Trust me, you will not be disappointed.
Clifton's is mind-blowing. I mean, I haven't been that impressed with this bar since, what's the other big...
The Edison,
yeah. The first time I went to the Edison, mind-blown. First time I went to Clifton's, equally, if not more so. Yeah. I recommend anyone listening to this podcast, go to Clifton's. Trust me.
Yeah, also go to the Edison, because the Edison is a classic. The Edison opened during the first resurgence I went to Edison opening night. That's the crazy part about that. That had to have been 2004, 2005, right?
Wow.
And that, by far, at that time, was the most beautiful space I'd ever seen in my life, hands down. And I'm talking about nothing better than Vegas, New York, any of the places where you know they have cool spots, by far.
Yeah, and it's just massive as well.
And it's in an alley. I mean, it's just great.
Yeah, it's so cool. Especially if you love that 1920s. It's got a 1920s steampunk vibe. I mean, it's really one of those things that's hard to describe. You just have to go check it out for yourself. But so let me get to what do you consider like a perfect day in downtown Los Angeles? Like, you live down here. You wake up on a Saturday morning. take me through the perfect day as far as LA activities that you can walk to.
All right, so I'll do it specific to me, and okay. then some of it will be so far left that, or far off the beaten track that they'll go, wow, there's something like that that exists. So the perfect day in LA to me would be waking up really early. Believe it or not, Saturday, Sunday morning, waking up early in LA is magical. The streets are empty, but places are still open. It's amazing, right? So the perfect day for me is to wake up early, throw on some sweats without showering, going downstairs to this really cool coffee shop that's right around the corner from me. It's called Ghost Bears. If anybody, great guys, think of Clerks. Basically, Ghost Bears is the coffee shop version of Clerks. A bunch of friends that own a coffee shop, just kind of fooling around, drinking beers and serving you coffee. It's amazing, crazy funny. Conversation. So, doing that, getting a coffee, walking to the gym, quick walk to the gym, working out half hour to an hour, coming home, showering real quick, walking to a cool brunch spot, and there's 100 of them within 3 to 5 blocks of me. So I don't have one that I would pick out. And there's just new ones opening up all the time. Grabbing a good breakfast, and then believe it or not, coming back upstairs, grabbing my pistol and walking to the gun range. People don't realize that there's this cool little gun range right in downtown LA that's right in the middle of the Arts District. You know, go down there, shoot off a few rounds, come back, take a nap, drive to the beach for the day. I love this place called the Stretch Lab. Get stretched out, meditate at the beach, come back, and then maybe take another nap or get ready or whatever, and then go out for some drinks. And normally when we go out for drinks, we'll stop and eat something first, and then we'll have like a spot that we'll go to just as like a cool little spot we're testing. Like Cranes is one of these good spots right around the corner from me. That's, you go down some stairs and you walk into a bank vault, and then there's a dive bar in there. That's just cool as hell to me. And then grab a cheap drink there, and then go to a place like a Clifton's or like an Edison's, or even better for me is to go to any of the Houston Brothers. And I know those guys are my friends, and I'll give them a shout out, but anything those guys do is absolutely perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And my favorite is Break Room 86.
Yeah, in Koreatown. Yeah, so that's awesome. So if anyone's wondering why I had John on the podcast, besides him being my brother, he just said two things that I've never heard of. And again, Life Hacks LA, I research this stuff every day. He just said the Stretch Lab, never heard of, and you said Crane's Bar downtown?
Yeah.
Never heard of that. So that's the reason why I had him on. But John, we're going to wrap it up here because we're actually in his loft downtown, and there's some banging going on overhead. So we're probably going to wrap up this episode. I could talk to you about downtown Los Angeles all day long. I love it. You love it. So we're just end with, is there anything about living or hanging out in DTLA that we didn't talk about that you'd like to share? Any advice or?
Yeah, and I'd like to say that it's a really great lifestyle. It's very eclectic. It's all races, all ages, all genders, all preferences. It's just one of these places where everybody just comes together. So you could be in any particular bar, and you could be a 25-year-old, and sitting next to you is an 85-year-old. Ordering the same drinks. That's what I love more than anything about downtown. The other thing is it gets a bad rap because of the homeless, but at the end of the day, sure, they certainly need to figure out how to take care of that problem. But I've been in places like San Francisco and other great cities. I love San Francisco. But the one thing I could say about our homeless, I don't know if it's that they're spoiled by our generosity or whatever it is, but they seem to get along pretty well with the residents, even though it's like very poor living with fairly wealthy. I've never really seen violence. I've never seen a homeless guy really go after somebody. So they seem to be, you know, even though that's a problem in downtown LA, I don't want that to dissuade people from at least taking a look at downtown LA, because it's getting better. And so far, you know, I've lived here two different times and I've never had a problem.
Yeah, I see that too. Like I see people, just homeless people in general in Los Angeles, of course it's a huge problem, like you said, but they're less aggressive than I've seen in other cities. But yeah, so you would recommend living in downtown Los Angeles, depending on what your situation is.
But not with kids.
Oh, okay, I was just going to ask you, what about with kids? Because when I came up to your loft this morning, I saw this lady, obviously upper middle class, and she had her little son with her. Maybe he was like 4 or 5, looked like they were going to school. And right as she walked by me, this guy walks by with this huge shopping cart and like no shoes on. And I was like, well, wow, I don't know if you want your kid to see that.
But that would have been Manhattan living in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Manhattan was exactly like that. So yeah, I don't think it's the ideal place. I just think there's too much. LA in general has way too much to offer with neighborhoods that I don't see why you would pick downtown LA when you have kids, because downtown LA is one of the most expensive neighborhoods. So why not go to a less expensive neighborhood that fits kids more? That's just my thoughts. I also don't understand the dog culture down here. There's a lot of dogs. Everybody owns dogs downtown LA.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and that I don't understand either. There's no place for them to run. There's no place for them to, you know, do their business.
Yeah, it's on the sidewalk in front of you. Yeah, yeah. I don't get that either. I mean, if you're going to have a dog, you probably want to live in near some parks and stuff.
So Silver Lake. Silver Lake is less expensive than downtown.
Yeah.
And Silver Lake has this great dog park.
You know, one of the best.
Right off of the lake, you know, or the reservoir. It's amazing.
All right, my brother. We could talk all day about downtown Los Angeles. I'd like to have you on in the future to break down like one specific thing in downtown. Maybe the Arts District or maybe just nightclubs.
My favorite place, yeah.
Or something like that. But it was great talking to you. And it's pretty awesome that you love Los Angeles as much as I do, and you kind of turned me on to getting so passionate about and starting this whole Life Hacks LA thing to begin with. So thanks for coming on the podcast.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
Bye.
What's up, LA Hacker? I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Life Hacks LA podcast, where we sat down with my brother John and hacked the transformation of DTLA from a virtual ghost town to the hotspot entertainment capital that we all love today. Like I said on the episode, it was really cool to sit down with him, because before I came up with the concept of hacking LA and LA Hacker, he was giving me all these cool tips and tricks of things to do in LA. All right, so as always, if you enjoyed that episode, it'd really help us out a lot if you could leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on. And if you want more hacks, you can download our 10 best at lifehacksla.com/10hacks. All right, guys, I'll talk to you next week. Peace.